comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Nerds United on the Jitter Monkey Podcast Network. My name is Greg Mahochko. Joining me as always, except for the next episode, we'll talk about that later. He is the co-host of the year, Mike Luther. Hi, Mike.
Hello, sir.
I guess we're not
going to... What's going on next episode? What?
So the next episode I'm recording later this weekend, and it'll be one of those special midweek episodes with a creator.
Okay, nice.
An author who originally hails from Southern Illinois, has mutual friends like Chad Smart and Kevin Hunsberger, and the rest. So I'll be talking with Adam Testa about the book that he just wrote and self-published. So,
now, are you talking about Chad Smart from the Positive Cynicism Network?
Yes, the Positive Cynicism Podcast Network.
And are also, you talking about...
And also... Greg and Chad's Power Half Hour.
Yes. And are you talking about Kevin Hunsberger from My 1-2-3 Cents?
The podcast, yes indeed.
Okay, wow. I know those guys.
Yeah. And Adam used to live in Southern Illinois and used to write for the newspaper down there. And then he, we'll talk.
Yeah.
We'll give his biography when he's on the show.
Right, that's a good idea.
Mike went to school in Clinton County, Illinois, and then joined the Army, and then left the Army, or they chose to leave him behind, one of the two.
I left them. Yeah, they didn't leave me.
Sure. And then he's been a roaming soul ever since.
That is true.
Finally found a home.
Yep, for now.
And picked up a teenager along the way.
Yeah, I mean... I guess, sure.
That's the Cliff Notes. That's the Mike Luther for Dummies version right there, which makes sense, man. Because I'm the dummy.
I would love anybody for Dummies. Like, you just learn about people like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially since I'm forgetful. So, like, you might tell me something. You might tell me a story about, I don't know, a cousin or something like that. I'm going to forget it. But if I had Greg for Dummies, I'd just flip through it and be like, oh yeah, I remember this now.
Problem is that I would also probably forget the story I told you.
Well,
and then I'd have to write another chapter to add the story. Like the second story, you're like, tell me again about that time you went for a drive with your cousin who was 15 and not licensed in Illinois.
Yeah.
See, like, here's the thing. Well, he was licensed in Florida and was up visiting.
Here's the thing, you don't write it. It just magically gets written about you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are these things that actually happened, or is the ghostwriter, like, you know, making shit up?
No, it's all true.
Oh, okay. Did you ever see Paul Bettany? And forgive me, I don't remember the support cast. Maybe Brendan Fraser?
Okay, so far I'm liking it.
I'm not sure. It was a movie called Inkheart.
No.
Okay, so, and I want to say it was Brendan Fraser, but I'm also not going to take the time to look. But the story goes that if you, like, there's people with particular powers, and if they were reading a book out loud, then they could make, like, that book come to life.
Okay.
And it happened that, and again, I'm saying Brendan Fraser. I'm not looking it up, so I'm only hopeful that it's accurate. He was the dad and found out that his daughter had this power, and then they accidentally made his wife disappear into a book, and then so he's like going all over the world to any old bookstore that might have a copy of this book because they've all, you know, all are being destroyed by the villain of the book who comes to life. It's a whole big thing. It's not a bad little family movie.
It first of all, it sounds like a movie that I would like, but also a movie that I would never watch unless it was on Netflix. And I'm just like, eh, fuck it. I guess I'll watch this while I'm laying down.
I was right. It was Brendan Fraser.
I know.
Inkheart came out in 2008. Let's see who else stars in the movie.
Helen Mirren.
Yeah. Yep. Paul Bettany, as I mentioned. Sienna Guillory. The big bad is a recognizable face, and Andy Serkis.
Yes.
He's in it. So, but yeah, it's not the worst movie in the world.
No.
So check out Inkheart for adventure, family, and fantasy.
Is the tagline for Inkheart, is it Inkheart, hey, we're better than Green Lantern?
Nope. Because that would be a lie.
I don't know about that one.
The tagline actually is, every story ever written is just waiting to become real.
Oh. You know, it's funny. And we might talk about this, but I'm not sure, but I don't think we've talked about it on other podcasts. I've watched a couple of movies, and so have you, that got negative reviews, and I watch them now, and I go, I can understand why I got negative, X-Men Dark Phoenix, Fantastic Four. I can understand why I got negative reviews, but it's not too bad. But I still have not gone back to watch Green Lantern because I'm really afraid that I'm going to watch it and go, oh, wow, it's not that bad, and then I have nothing to make fun of you about. So, for the sake of the podcast, I'm not watching Green Lantern.
You've seen Green Lantern.
Yeah, but it's been a while. It's been since it came out, I think.
Maybe
a little after that.
But we already did remember our five Guilty Pleasure comic book movies?
Yeah, that was one of yours.
What?
Green Lantern, that was one of your Guilty Pleasure comic book movies.
Yeah, but that was just a fun episode.
Yeah.
All right. So, speaking of movies, as you mentioned, you just watched Fantastic Four, the Josh Trank version.
First of all, call it by the correct name. It's Fantastic.
No, I'm not going to do that. It's more work.
I watched Fantastic recently, recently as in this week, simply because it was on Disney Plus. And I was like, and they have tons of Marvel stuff, and I love the Marvel movies. But I'm like, I've seen them 1,000 times. Granted, I'm going back and watching them now. But I was like, and I saw it, so I was like, okay, you know what? Let me give this a try. And I really do like to go into watching a movie with an open mind. Sometimes it's harder than other times. But I went in with a slightly open mind for this one. It is not a horrible movie. There are definitely some problems with it. And I don't know, and I know you watched it as well. The movie to me kind of felt rushed, but at the same time, I also didn't want it to go longer.
Yeah.
You know, it really felt like they had, because I think movies, I want to say let's say 2 hours. I really don't think it's even 2 hours though, but let's say it's 2 hours. And it felt like they had a 3 hour movie originally, and then said, that's too long. Let's take an hour out. And they just cut, edit, you know, just cut parts out. The special effects weren't great at all. Not that I know, sound great before the podcast started. The 2005 version was better as far as special effects go. I did like the characters. Because one of those reviews I was listening to or read it, I can't remember, was talking about how they didn't really like Ben Grimm, you know, the Thing. I didn't mind him in this. He was fine, you know. After watching it, though, am I sitting here going, man, I really want a Fantastic 2 or how would they say it? Fantastic or something.
I think at that point, then to become a Fantastic 8.
Yes.
Fantastic 4, 2.
Yeah. But do I want? No, I don't. Would I mind seeing some of the characters, though, in a Marvel, you know, cameo or something like that? Sure.
Yeah. Obviously, Michael B. Jordan's moved on to more Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't hate it. I'm not trying to sound like a jackass, but I've been a fan of Kate Mara's work. You know, so I didn't mind the casting there. And I think, like, if you know, people say she dyed her hair or whatever, like, you don't even have to do that. Does Sue Storm really have to be blonde?
Right.
I mean, yeah. Jessica Alba was not Caucasian, and Chris Evans was not blonde like Johnny Storm was in the comics.
Right.
And obviously they went a different direction with Johnny Storm in this version, which is like, that's fine. I get it. You know, and they explained it well, like, one's adopted. Big deal.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know? There was, I like all the cast.
Oddly enough, and this might actually be the same for the original Fantastic Four movies. And honestly, I think it might be the same in some of the more, you know, recent comic books that have been done. I mean, going back to, you know, last 15 to 20 years, my least favorite character, not necessarily actors, but my least favorite character in all the Fantastic Four movies is Reed Richards. And okay. Reed Richards has that problem in comics as well, in that he's so smart that, you know, he has to, you know, it feels like he has to just, well, I'm going to lock myself away. I'm going to solve all the world's problems. I'm going to do it all on my own. I'm going to neglect my family. That never goes well. It always, you know, causes division. I was not impressed by Miles Teller's portrayal, but I like, again, and I knew about some of the drama before I went and watched the movie. So none of this was like, you know, I wanted to go and I wanted to get away for an hour and 40 minutes. And that's what I did. And I was like, okay, moving on. Was it the best? Nope. Was it the worst? Nope.
Yeah, and you're right. So I did say I like the cast, but yeah, Miles Teller, I didn't hate him, but could I see somebody else being Reed Richards? Yes, absolutely. And I will say I like this person as an actor. I think his name Tobin Bell. I didn't.
Jamie Bell?
I did not. What?
Jamie Bell was Ben Grimm.
No.
Oh, Toby, I'm going to mispronounce, but it's probably Cabell or Kebble.
Yeah.
Who played Victor?
Yes.
Yeah.
Look, and maybe it's because I don't really know how Dr. Doom is portrayed in the comic books.
Not like that.
That's what I thought. He was too much of like kind of like they made him like a hipster kind of.
Yeah, millennial.
Douchey, yeah, character. Yeah.
Blogger or whatever. But to be fair, Victor Von Doom from the original movie was not anywhere. Like, at no point, I don't think, do they ever mention Latveria.
Right.
You know, and how do you do it properly if you don't mention, you know, this country that he is, you know, claimed himself ruler of?
The only thing that they mention, at least in Fanforstic, they don't actually mention it, it's on the paper. And it says Victor Von Doom and Latveria underneath.
So disappointed.
Yeah.
All right. So what else we got, Mike?
I mean, I watched more movies. I watched Chronicle. Have you ever seen that?
I have. That was – was that Josh Trank's first?
That's I think one of his first. Josh Trank directed and produced it and starring – speaking of, you know – connecting them, Michael B. Jordan in that one.
That's right. And also the kid from Amazing Spider-Man,
DeHaan,
who there's another movie that he's in, I think, with Cara Delevingne.
Yes.
I've told you about that, and you're like, and I said, oh no, it's pretty good. And you're like, I'm not going to watch a movie that's quote unquote pretty good.
Yeah, God. Oh, I know. What movie was that?
I don't know. It's not Jupiter Ascending. It's it's another space action sci-fi movie. Anyway, Chronicle's decent. I haven't watched anything yet of note this week, but that's what I get.
Valerian?
Valerian, yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, and I know. Okay, so you said you haven't watched anything of note this week?
Nope. Watch more of The Office and Community.
Now, Greg, you do realize that we have a podcast called Nerds United.
Yeah, Mike, you do realize that nothing new has been released in a year.
Okay. But there's plenty to review. So you could go, hey, you could email me or message me, and you go, hey, Mike, next week we are going to review phase one of MCU. Or you can say, hey, Mike, pick a movie from phase one. We're going to review it.
All right. For Mike, next week, pick a movie. Or for next week, pick a movie from phase one, and we'll review it.
Okay. How about Thor?
Okay. And we'll allow everybody else in the comments to drop their Thor review.
Yes. Now that everybody listens to this, let's see if Greg actually watches Thor again.
For the record, I wouldn't even need to rewatch Thor to review it. It's that good, and it's all up here, baby.
That's kind of the problem I'm running into when I'm for Disney Plus. Is I'm like, oh, there's so many the Thor movie, or not Thor, there's Thor movies, yes. There's so many Marvel movies, but I'm like going through and I'm like, yeah, I know what happens there. I know what happens there. I did go back though because of what I read on the YouTube video. I did go back and watch Thor: The Dark World. It's how I remembered. Actually, there were some parts I was like, "Oh, I forgot about that." But
it is what it is. But I still think it's underrated.
I could see that.
So it's not the strongest, but it's better than Ant-Man and Wasp. The only thing that Ant-Man and Wasp gets you is the quantum realm.
Okay, yeah, I'm not saying I disagree with you, because, in fact, as when I was watching it, I was thinking it is definitely not bad at all, Thor the Dark World, not bad at all. It's definitely in the bottom of the Marvel movies, and I was thinking Ant-Man and the Wasp is, I would say Iron Man 3, Ant-Man and the Wasp, and this is no particular order, Thor the Dark World, and even Captain Marvel, but I don't hate Captain Marvel because of Brie Larson, I just think they did her wrong.
There was
those were the bottoms.
There was a great fix to Captain Marvel, and I want to say it came from the Fat Man Beyond podcast. And it was obviously Kevin Smith, Mark Bernardin, and I think Mark was saying that the emotional disconnect between the movie and the audience came from the fact that, you know, the character didn't know who she was, and if they would have just told the story in like the true timeline without the flashbacks, things like that, then you get to know the character and appreciate the character for all of her struggles, you know, being a little girl, being, you know, first in the Air Force or Navy. I think you have to be in the Navy to be the pilot. I don't know how that works exactly. I'm pretty sure that Maverick was in the Navy. Anyway. And then you see the trauma that she goes through. And then you kind of heal with her, and then you realize the betrayal and her, you know, fight back to, the remembering who she was. I think that would have, you know, held a lot more emotionally for the viewers.
Well, yeah, and first of all, Mark Bernardin is a way better writer than I could ever dream to be, because I don't write anything. But even if I did, I'm not going to be nearly as good as him. And so he's not wrong in that sense. I think another part that was bad about it is, speaking of emotions, they talked a lot about, hey, don't get emotional. You know what happens. But they never showed what happens if she got emotional.
Right.
If they would have showed, her getting emotional, all of a sudden her power destroyed an innocent person, you know, or they had a flashback where she did that, but that never happened. So you're like, well, why is? Who cares if she gets emotional?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that I'm not saying that it's, you know, well, you know, I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
I was wondering.
Speaking of movies, Mike, did you know that Keanu Reeves is on the revival tour of every property he's ever played?
I did see that you had posted about he's talking about doing Constantine 2. Is that correct?
Keanu Reeves says that Constantine 2 is happening. Where do you stand on Constantine the movie?
Okay. I like the movie, but I also like it because I didn't understand who Constantine from the comic books was. Mm-hmm. Now that I understand a little bit more, and I've seen, what's his name?
Matt Ryan.
What is it? Sorry?
Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan portray him. I don't know if I want to see Keanu Reeves' portrayal again.
It's an Elseworlds, man. It's not, that's okay. not part of the, no, I'm kidding. I don't know. Then that's the thing is, I'm in the same boat as I was not familiar with the Hellblazer character before I saw the movie. And it's not a movie I saw in theaters at the time. I probably rented it, you know, was curious and enjoyed it. Had a young upstart in it named Shia LaBeouf, in the movie, as well as, I can never pronounce her name right. And I apologize if she's listening, Rachel Weisz. Had one who went on to Marvel fame, and that's another name I can't. She's the ancient one.
Tilda Swinton.
Thank you. I was going to go back through all of her other roles that I know that she's done, but yeah, Tilda Swinton has a good cast, and the guy who plays like the devil, I like that actor. I didn't hate the movie. In fact, I enjoyed it quite a bit. I have it. I'm kind of in the boat with you. Like, after you've seen Matt Ryan do it, you know, and he's wearing the trench coat, the red tie, he's smoking and he's British.
Yeah.
You know? I'm on board. This is the thing where, like, we're not getting too much of a good thing in this situation, because we still have the Matt Ryan, you know, and if DC were smart, that's a big if, but they would find a way to incorporate Matt Ryan into the movies. The Justice League Dark would be the way to do it, because he could be like, I crossed over from this world. I mean, they did it in the Infinite Crisis, when they had Ezra Miller, come on the Flash real quick. Right. So there's a little bit of acknowledgement there. If you can work Matt Ryan into the cinematic version, then that would be the best. But if Keanu wants to play Constantine again, I'm on board.
Yeah, I'm, you know, and kind of what you're talking about, it doesn't take away from Matt Ryan.
Right.
You know, it's just, you know, hey, Keanu Reeves, number one, he's welcome on this podcast anytime. Great guy. Just, and hey, maybe this time he dyes his hair. Maybe this time he has an English accent. Who knows? Maybe he changes it all up. You know, he's not going to, but still, it'd be funny if he did.
Yeah. But look, this is Keanu's world at this point. I mean, he's done three John Wick movies. He's about to do a fourth Matrix movie. We just did Bill and Ted's awesome revival, Speed. I mean, I joked in the Facebook post, but like Speed, I think, is the only property that he's left untouched, because he took some time off, it seems like. I mean, what is he going to do, make Lake House 2 with Sandra Bullock? I mean, I don't know. Don't ask me how I know that one.
Don't jinx it.
I mean, I don't know how you make that story twice, but I don't know how you make a lot of... Anyway, moving on. Constantine 2 is happening, and I'm all right with that. Let's get to continue on the DC movie train, and the next car down, Wonder Woman 1984, Mike.
Yes.
Now, Warner Brothers is contemplating putting the movie on HBO Max as early as January.
Yeah, from what I've read, it will go to theaters. If no matter what they do, it's going to go to theaters. But it's going to, is it going to go to theaters for just a little bit and then go to HBO Max, or are they going to push it to next summer, 2021, and be in theaters? And honestly, I'm not sure what they're going to do.
I mean, it doesn't sound like they know either, so I didn't expect you to know, really.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say, like, I don't even know what's the best choice, because, yes, obviously, if you're a studio, you want it to be in theaters. That's where you're going to make the most amount of money if people were able to go to the theaters, if it was safe for everybody to go to theaters.
Yeah, and you're in the same state as I am in Illinois, and they're just shutting more things down.
Yeah.
And there are – I have my theories as to why that's happening that are – you know, but I'll leave those alone. Yeah, and look, this is a movie I'm just very excited for.
Mm-hmm.
If they were to, you say that no matter what, it's heading to theater. I don't know how, like, Disney had the, you know, premiere on demand type of thing with Mulan, where. Right. Like, Warner Brothers tried putting Tenet in theaters, and it didn't work.
No.
I mean, look, and I get it. Maybe they'll re-release it when the world opens up. That would make sense. But I don't know. If this were not Wonder Woman, if this were a Batman movie, would they even be contemplating putting it on the streaming service, or be like, we're just going to – that's a tentpole event. We're just going to hang on to it until, you know, theaters open up.
Yeah, no, they would. I don't think it would be any difference between what they're doing with Wonder Woman or what they would be doing with a potential Batman movie.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely not. The only reason they're contemplating it is because it's gotten pushed back so much, and there's no real future in sight. There's no – you can't say, hey, in 6 months – virus is gone, everybody's going out. We can't say that. We have no clue. So they don't know that either.
They are a vaccine is working its way through FDA approval.
Which is awesome. If that works out, cool. But there's no real concrete, you know, mm-hmm. insight just yet.
Right.
It
was all so supposed to be over on November 4th. Just remember that.
Yeah. So that's why, you know, they're contemplating it. Because it's like, okay, well, do they wait until next summer and then take it out, or do they go, look, we need to cut our losses and we need to get this out? Now, one question I have for you is, what is the most amount you would pay to watch it on HBO Max? Let's say it's a pay-per-view type of thing, so you can watch it for a full day, 24 hours. What's the max amount? What's your I'm not paying more than X.
And it's only pay-per-view. It's not like Mulan where you get it for forever, right?
Mulan
said you pay $30 and it's yours.
Okay, let's do it like that then.
I mean, I'd do $30. That's about two tickets to the theater from, you know, for me and my wife. You know, that's before snacks and stuff. I mean, I'm not trying to be cheap about it. I'm just trying to be realistic, and it's like, would I pay more for the experience of going to the theaters? Yes. Am I going to pay $40, $50 or more to sit on my couch and, you know, no, because as we've seen, Mulan came out, I think, September.
Right.
And it's going to be free for everybody in December. So I'm like,
right.
I'll just wait till December. I can do that with Mulan. I know a certain fella named Mike who won't let me do that with Wonder Woman. He's like, we got to talk about it. We got to watch it.
Well, I don't know. Nowadays, if it was $30, it might be a little bit of time. But depending on what paycheck was coming up, whether or not I could watch it.
Hey Mike. Remember how you watch HBO Max?
That's true. That's right. Well, shit. Who cares about $30 then?
We'll go halfsies.
Okay. Oh, perfect.
Okay.
perfect. But I'm curious if it would be more than $30, honestly, because if Mulan, like you mentioned, was $30, I'm sorry, but Wonder Woman 84 is going to be, I hope it's going to be way better than Mulan.
Have you seen Mulan?
I could see them doing like $50.
I mean, you know, if we're still going halvesies,
not that I want that.
If we're still going halvesies, I'll go halvesies with you for 50.
Yeah.
So, because I know you're gonna be like, come on, Greg, but we're gonna have to pick the right time. Like, we're gonna have to get it at like midnight as the clock turns zero on a Saturday morning, because I know you'll be awake to watch it like a crazy bastard, and then that'll give me plenty of time to watch it on Saturday. So,
yes.
So there you go, folks. There's our plan. If it goes down like that,
yeah.
But here's the thing, and I'm not saying I'm not cautious. I'm not saying I wouldn't take precautions, but if, like, my favorite theater here in Belleville, which you've been to as well, if they said, we're going to throw Wonder Woman 1984 in, you know, at the earliest time that we can, you know, like when they decide to release it, I'll go, because I know I can social distance, because I might be the only one there, you know?
Well, okay, yes, but obviously if they put it in the theaters, they're going to make a fraction of what they would have made before.
I understand.
Simply because, first of all, social distancing, so you can't have a full packed theater. You can have a third of it, or, you know.
I feel like, and we're gonna name drop here, the Edge in Belleville, in the Bistro Theater, where it's kind of like, you know, two recliners that you kind of share, you know, like with you and your you know, spouse or whatever, your date, and then, you know, there's like two more, like they could essentially block off every other pair. Because I feel like there's enough space between you and the row in front of you, so you at the least you could get half capacity in there.
Yeah, that's true. There you could absolutely. Yes.
I'm not, again, that's, you know, your mileage may vary. That's not going to be across the board, but someplace like that, you know, where they're already kind of spaced out for, because servers are coming through bringing food and they have to be able to walk, etc. So,
right.
All
right.
I feel like we spent enough time about that, talking about that anyway. I don't have any. Oh, here we go. More DC news. I almost thought we were going to be done with it. Zack Snyder teasing a drawing of Harry Lennox's Martian Manhunter for the Snyder Cut.
By the way, I like whoever commented. What was the comment underneath that? I forgot. Somebody, this is a brand new thing now, or this is no longer a fix.
No, that's what I said. I said, this is no longer a fix-it movie. It's a whole new thing. And
that's what I've been saying. Hold on. That's what I've been saying from the beginning. I've said it several times on this podcast before. It's not Zack Snyder's cut. It is, but it's not his original cut. It's not him coming back and going, hey, this is what I wanted to do. No, it's him going. And by the way, I don't blame him. I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm still going to watch it. I'm still going to love it.
Right.
But it's him going, I listen to the fans. The fans want more Cyborg. I have more cuts of Cyborg. I'm going to add it in. The fans don't want X, whatever. Okay, I'm going to take that out.
Apparently, the fans want Jared Leto's Joker.
I mean, hey, well, actually, no, honestly, I could see that. No, but here's the thing. I could see that because if you followed, not because of watching Suicide Squad, but if you followed the news that came along with it, apparently Jared Leto filmed like, I don't know, an extra like 30, 45 minutes worth of scenes that were never in Suicide Squad. You know, like he had, like the character that they told him about that he was going to do. I'm obviously Joker, but the way that they told him about it, he said it was nothing like it. It wasn't Suicide Squad because they cut and edited everything out.
And I saw something just today that said that, you know, with all these reshoots and everything, they're only filming 4 additional minutes. Did you see that online?
I did not. That's hard to. I mean, I believe you.
that's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
Because you're not bringing everybody back for 4 minutes.
I know that Henry Cavill, Superman, he said he hasn't. He's not shooting anything new.
Right. But Ben Affleck was there, you know, and others.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, I mean, I'm still on board. It's supposed to come in 2021. We just need to, you know, and also they said that Jared Leto's Joker is going to be a little darker and grittier, not so, I don't know, jazzed up a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's maybe that means less face tattoos. Moving on. Here's one that you shared with us yesterday, and that is WandaVision has its release date. And you know what date that is, Mike?
I believe January 15th.
That's my dad's birthday. Happy birthday, Dad. I'll be at home watching WandaVision.
That's right.
So.
Now, one thing I haven't heard about this yet is if they are releasing it weekly or if they're releasing it, you know, bingeable.
Like Mandalorian style or Netflix version?
Yeah. Are they going to do Mando?
I mean, honestly, I could see them, you know, towing that, you know, continuing to tow that status quo type of thing. And I could see it being, weekly.
That's what I think too.
So, and then finally, I think, well, just about, the Umbrella Academy picked up for its third season at Netflix. So you can continue to watch that show.
Yes. Yeah. Do you have anything more to say about that?
Nope. Just that. Chadwick Boseman will not have a digital double in Black Panther 2, which is good. Largely because the digital doubles never really do them justice. And secondly, because it's a little on the fresh side, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I read a little bit of the article. I know I just sent it to you like literally right before you called because it came up on my Facebook page. And they were very nice. They essentially said our king died not just in fiction but in real life.
Yeah.
And they don't feel right replacing him. Because I was curious about what they were going to do. There was another article that we didn't talk about last week because we weren't sure if it was real or not. But it was trying to say that Shuri was going to be the new Black Panther. Once again, that's probably 100% false. So we're not bringing that out there and saying it. But I do know that luckily they're working on what do we do with Black Panther and Wakanda and, you know, Shuri and, you know, all the characters.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you've got to rewrite a whole story there, you know.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a red hot minute, I think, before we get any more honest to God, ready to go updates on that movie because, you know, it was, you know, tragic. It was well hidden, obviously. And you know, I don't think anybody knew that he had cancer for 4 years and was battling it.
Right,
but, yeah. When you don't know, and you're building this movie or project, any project around, you know, somebody who, and then, you know, just like that, they're not there. You can't just be like, well, let's bring in a lookalike. No, you're going to have because obviously that's not something you can hide. You know, that's not something you just avoid. Everybody knew about it as soon as it happened, as soon as that tweet went out. It became, honestly, one of the sadder tweets of 2020, which is saying something because we've had a lot of shit happen this year. But, it was one of the more affecting ones. So, you know, I don't know. It's just that was a tough one. So, you almost have to start from scratch. So, we'll see.
Yeah. And even the movie isn't even planned to come out to 2022, and you know, with all the pushbacks and everything, that might be 2023, 2024 before it comes out. So they have plenty of time, and they seem to be respectful about it, which is good.
Yeah. All right. One comic book thing to discuss, and then we'll look at the book, and then we'll call it a night, Mike. Geoff Johns, who was the longtime chief creative officer at DC Comics, and Gary Frank, who's one of his longtime collaborators, have a book coming out under the Image publishing banner. And it will be called Geiger, like Geiger counter, radioactivity type thing. And it will be in shops in April of 2021. From bleedingcool.com, this is a direct quote. My apologies, it's a long one because it's a run-on sentence. I mean, seriously.
I believe you.
Okay. When Geoff Johns left DC Comics as chief creative officer, He stated that DC Comics would be publishing a number of creator-owned comic book series under his imprint Killing Zone, and one would be with his Doomsday Clock and Earth One Batman collaborator Gary Frank. That's one. Well, things change. That's two. And now Geoff Johns and Gary Frank will be publishing their new creator-owned comic book Geiger through Image Comics instead. That was it. Sorry. A little bit of, about Geiger to get you wet the palate. Who are the scavengers of a dying Earth? Geiger is set in the years since a nuclear war ravaged the planet. Desperate outlaws battle for survival in a world of radioactive chaos. Out past the poisoned wasteland lives a man even the nightcrawlers and organ people fear. Some call him Joe Glow. Others call him the Meltdown Man. But his name is Geiger.
Ooh.
So. And then there's some very nondescript art to share. But I'm not going to share it. Pretty cool cover. I've seen better, but pretty cool.
I'm looking at the cover. Yeah, not too bad.
It reminds me of a friend of the show, J. Peter Onitz, the book he did, Broderick, where he had a gentleman in the, you know, in the World War II or, you know, mobster type era of the 30s or 40s who gets dumped in a, like a, an American, you know, nuclear bomb test facility, atom bomb test facility. And he's in this ghost town type, you know, setup, and he's looking and you see the mushroom cloud behind him. He's like, oh shit. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Be an interesting story. When does it come out?
April, tomorrow? 2021.
I was close.
Did you say tomorrow? It's not even New Comic Book Day, Mike.
Oh, gosh.
So all right. Mean. How about we look at the book and then get out of here?
All right.
All right. The book, of course, is?
The League of Regrettable Superheroes, Loot Crate Edition.
By?
John Morris. And that's without looking.
Have we talked about Speed Centaur yet?
I don't believe so, but I want to hear about him.
I'm glad, because here we are. Debuting.
Can I guess real quick? It is a centaur on cocaine.
No. Half right. Half right. Half right.
Okay.
Debuting in Amazing Mystery Funnies Volume 2, Number 8, which was Centaur Publications in August of 1939, created by Martin Kildale. Speed Centaur. Half the battle in coming up with a new superhero is finding a way to make the costume crime fighter stand out from the legions of super-powered types competing for a kid's dime. Well, standing out was no problem for Speed Centaur because he is exactly what his name advertises, a crime-fighting centaur.
Okay. Is there more? Because I have some ideas about this.
A trip to the big city is just what every young centaur dreams of, and soon Speed has foiled the plans of his very first crook, Killer Diller. For good measure, he's also saved the life of his soon-to-be pal and partner, newsman Jerry McCoy. An impressive array of powers, as if being a centaur isn't enough. He also is a mental and physical giant capable of flinging mighty boulders like pebbles, can apparently fly, and, as his name implies, move as quick as lightning. Though he can do much of what other superheroes do, he doesn't have a strong chance for a secret identity, a civilian career, or a romance, despite looking like a matinee idol from the waist up.
First of all, I want this in a movie. And I want there to be, like, they try to disguise him. Like, they put, like, a blanket over the horse part or something, and they try to – because, I mean, hey, they put the Ninja Turtles in trench coats and try to pull that off as the guys.
Did you ever watch Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief?
No, but I'm so glad you brought that up because it's on Disney Plus and you've talked about it several times. And should I watch it?
I mean, I enjoy it.
Okay. That's
that may or may not be the
a resounding review for it.
That may or may not be, you know, helpful. But in the first movie, Pierce Brosnan plays a centaur.
Okay.
Who, you know, like in the human world, you know, as a teacher, history teacher, he actually, and I don't know how the magic behind it, but instead of being like a centaur, you don't see the horse half. He looks like a teacher in a wheelchair.
Okay.
So
because of magic.
Because of magic. I mean, okay. This is a centaur, so I mean, there's got to be some magic there. I like how it says, he does have a handy disguise when called on to pass unnoticed in the city, a lifelike equine mask with which he covers his upper body, allowing him to pass as an urban horse.
I mean, you kind of have to do that. That's you can't disguise, the horse half unless you're magic.
When not fighting crime, Speed resides in his secret headquarters inside a Titanic cave on Knob Nose Mountain overlooking the city. On the off chance there isn't enough crime and injustice to keep the pair busy in town, the cave is also home to weird monsters.
Great.
There's no indication of how long this character actually lasted, but it can't be long.
Well, whoa, oh my God. So I'm looking on fandom.com, and it says public domain appearances, Amazing Mystery Funnies Volume 2, number 8 through 24.
Okay.
And then Wham Comics number 1.
All right.
If I'm reading that correctly. Now, with his name Speed Centaur, one thing I'm – this is what I want. I want one of these two things to have happened.
Oh, shit.
Either the bottom half, the horse half, is really fast, but the top half is not. So the horse is just galloping along super fast, and the body part is just flailing behind, right? Or I want it reversed, where the horse half is just doo-doo-doo, but then the top half is like him like pumping his arms really fast and be like, come on, guys, let's go! And I don't know which one I want more.
I think I want the latter half.
Yes, not a bad call.
Like the legs can't keep up with the arms?
Yes.
Ah, that's gold, Mike. Thank you for that.
Thank you. No problem.
The pictures indicate, obviously, he's a horse with a tan upper body, tan torso, yes, and face and arms, and curly golden hair. Any casting ideas? Do we even play that game this time around?
Yes. We are – okay, well, I'll tell you right now. Do you want blonde hair or do you want abs? You get one of the two.
I mean, theoretically, if we went Chris Hemsworth, we could knock them both out.
Well, I was going to say Chris Hemsworth originally, but I say Chris – if the character is
– We kind of say Chris Hemsworth a lot.
I do. If the character is blonde, I say Chris Hemsworth.
Okay. But now I want – Fat Thor, Chris Hemsworth.
But see, okay, if you're going fat, I was going to go Jonah Hill.
He's not that fat anymore, is he?
Well, I mean, it goes up and down.
All right, and then for the horse part, I want the bottom half of American Pharoah.
Is that a horse or is that a character that I don't know?
No, I think he won the Kentucky Derby a few years ago.
Oh, okay. First of all, when you were saying I want for the bottom half of the horse, I thought you were going to be like, and then I want Channing Tatum to portray the bottom half of the horse. I'm like, okay, now I'm really watching this
movie. Mark Wahlberg is Dirk Diggler. Yeah. By the way, American Pharoah was a Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup winner, and the stud fee, if you want American Pharoah to breed your next generation of horse or not, I mean, good luck. $200,000.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I don't have any horses I need to breed, so I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I feel like that's prostitution because there's an exchange of money. Money's changing hands for acts.
That's true.
Unspeakable things. And you know what? That horse, maybe that horse didn't want to do that.
Well, maybe if they film it, then it's okay.
Are you talking about Cuties from Netflix?
Oh God, no!
You're talking about filming things that are not appropriate, and well, now we've lost the audience.
There was a joke I've heard where it's like, and by the way, sorry, Mom, you don't need to be hearing this. But if like you're talking about like prostitution, so it's illegal for two people to have sex if there is money involved, unless they film it and then it's porn, and that's okay.
Okay, well, that's one way to look at it. And you're right. Sorry, Mike's mom.
Yes. I'm not saying that's what I believe. I've heard of that.
What's not?
It's true.
What?
What? Nothing.
Okay. All right. So I think that'll be it for the show then, Mike. A good time, golly gee, was had by all.
Gosh darn golly gee.
And I'm going to get the audio thrown up, and then I'm going to go to bed.
All right.
Mike, it's been an honor and a privilege.
As always.
Can we do it again next week?
Sure thing.
All right. He is the co-host of the year, Mike Luther. I'm the not co-host of the year, just the regular old host, Greg Mahochko. This is Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network, where we remind you every week to be kind.
And rewind.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.